స్వయం సంసుతో మహాపురుషం మనుస్మర. వర్డ్ ఫర్ వర్డ్, యా హు కింగ్ పటిహ ఆత్మపీత్యం అఖ్యయ. After instructing many people about self-realization, Swayam, personally, Samsutaha, being very advanced and purified in self-realization, Mahapurusham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, Anusasmara, perfectly understood and always remembered. So I'll read the translations. This has no purpose here. To two or three. From Sumati, a son named Devatajit was born by the womb of his wife named Brihasena. Text 3. Thereafter, in the womb of Ashuri, the wife of Devatajit, a son named Devadyumna was begotten. Devadyumna begot in the womb of his wife Dhenumati a son named Parameshti. Parameshti begot a son named Pratiha in the womb of his wife Suvarila. Suvarchala. Translation and purport to text number 4. By His Divine Grace, the boy Charanadavinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. King Pratiha personally propagated the principles of self-realization. In this way, not only he was purified, but he became a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, and directly realized him. Please repeat. King Pratiha personally propagated the principles of self-realization. In this way, not only was he purified, but he became a great devotee of the Supreme Lord Vishnu and directly realized him. Purport. The word Anusasmara is very significant. God consciousness is not imaginary or concocted. The devotee who is pure and advanced realizes God as He is. Maharaj Pratiha did so, and due to his direct realization of Lord Vishnu, he propagated self-realization and became a preacher. A real preacher cannot be bogus. He must first of all realize Lord Vishnu as He is, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 3.34 Upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinaha. One who has seen the truth can impart knowledge. The word tattva-darshi refers to one who has perfectly realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a person can become a guru and propound Vaishnava philosophy all over the world. The paragon of bona fide preachers and guru is King Pratiha. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jananjanan Shalakaita Kshura Miritanjina Tashmaishvi Linda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here is giving history of the kings by seminal lineage. But superior to that are kings who are self-realized. Otherwise, what use is just having kings, good kings, who make sure the citizens are always happy, which is the main duty of a king. Krishna says in the Krishna book, I can't remember which king he was preaching to, but he said the first duty of the king is to make the citizens happy. That's the first duty of a king. So, become happy and prosperous in the world, perform sacrifices, get your desired results, live happily under the great protection of a king. That's great, but if there is no self-realization, then what use is it? The king looks after you nicely, you'll go back to the heavenly planets afterwards and again come and take birth here again and serve another nice king. So King Pratihar, the difference here specifically is mentioned that he was self-realized, and as such he preached that he understood this is much more important than just preaching Dharma and living in the material world happily with all facilities and feeling protected by the great king. But actually that king, he cannot protect his citizens. That's the injunction. One shouldn't be a king or a guru or if he cannot protect his dependents from the cycle of birth and death. So here, this is why King Pratihar is being glorified here, is because he was engaged in preaching to the citizens and in on the path of self-realization. So here he is being glorified as such. So King Pratihar personally propagated the principles of self-realization. This way he was not only purified, but he became a great devotee of the Supreme Person, Lord Vishnu, and directly realized him. So, also we see here that even self-realization is not really enough. It means he understood Vishnu. In this way, he was not only purified by self-realization, but he became a great devotee also. There's just two things. A self-realized person is called a saint because he has no connection with the material world. He's connected with the spiritual aspect of the world. So he's a saint, but he may not be a devotee yet. But he's a great saint. In Jagannath Mandir, they made the samadhi of Jayananda Prabhu. It's got a plaque there, ISKCON's first saint. That's not such a good credit. They should have even in person has become saints. They should have put he was a great devotee. He was a pure devotee, whatever. But saint is. He's not a devotee. If they're not devotees, the saint, that's okay, you're out of the material world, but still you're not engaged in devotional service. So this is the criteria. The king should engage everyone in Krishna service, in the service of the Lord. This is the actual greatness of a king, if he can do that. Because this is the what is lacking in society in today. We just need to engage everyone in devotional service. This is the duty of the king, or the whoever is the governor or the ruler. He just has to engage everyone in devotional service. So Krishna consciousness is so applicable. Any philosophy, any system, any religion, any way of life, you don't have to change it. You just tell everyone you have to serve Krishna in this process. Communism, capitalism, so many different systems. So you don't have to change anything to become Krishna consciousness. You just, everyone has to, you can do what you're doing, whatever the government wants you to do, that's the way the system they have. But you, what, you serve Krishna. Jipaya Surupaya Nitya Krishna Das. We are the eternal servants of Krishna. So this is what is needed in society to be re-established in our constitutional position. Self-realization, you're freed, but you're not actually situated in your constitutional position as a servant of Krishna. It's good, you're free, you're out of the material energy. It's a blissful transcendental status. It's, you, everyone should be like that. Whether they want to serve Krishna, everybody has a choice or not. But still, every sensible person should try to be out of the material modes of nature. It's foolish to try to think that you can get some kind of happiness in the material world when you have a choice. You are the spirit soul, you have a spiritual existence. So you better you realize that, even if you want to stay in the material world. But better realize that, you'll be happy. But nobody's even teaching that much. Get out of the material world. But further than that, that's your nature, that is your sat feature, sat chit ananda. So realizing the sat feature, that's great, that's fantastic. Krishna praises it like anything. As being, this is indeed happiness arising from cessation of material misery. So although Krishna's praising it so much, Brahma Bhuta Prashtanam, it's indeed happiness. What kind of happiness? That's arising from cessation of material misery. It means there's no misery. That's all. So you're happy, there's no misery, you're spiritual, but still you're not engaged in your constitutional position as the eternal servant of Krishna. So that is what is lacking. So this Maharaj Pratiha, he became self-realized. So he became purified, but he also became a great devotee. And so he was able to engage all the citizens in devotional service. He became a great preacher in the line. So therefore he is recognized and he is famous as a king who really did his duty properly. He engaged everyone in the service of the Lord. This is the ultimate satisfaction of the living entity. It's what we are searching for. It's the service to Krishna, the relationship in service to Krishna, the happiness, that, this is what we are, every living entity is searching for, because this is the natural constitution of the living entity. So, here Prabhupada's also talking in how Krishna also, he says, I did the same system. I taught, because Krishna was a king, and I taught the sun god, another king, the science of Bhagavad Gita, which brings one to devotional service. Sun god taught King Manu, father of mankind. So Manu's laws, mainly they're dealing with Vanashram, but then beyond Vanashram, again, we'll come to the point of service to Krishna. But never, not everybody wants to serve Krishna. We didn't come in the material world to serve Krishna. We come in a different kind of spirit was there. So not everybody wants to serve Krishna. Okay, but the king says, so you have to, if you want to live in my kingdom, and you follow Yavana Ashram, because this is this is a good system. It's easy to govern. I can govern everybody, and everybody is in their positions, and things go nicely, and everything flourishes. You don't have to become a devotee, but you follow Varnashram. I can make you follow Varnashram because I'm the king. But the living entity is independent. He has a choice. But Krishna is so intelligent and clever that this process of Varnashram, even though it's dealing with the modes of material nature, it has a built-in, it's a built-in sense and mind control process. So you'll become purified by doing it, and then ultimately you'll understand the glory of devotional service. So that becomes when you're purified. Yeah. Maharaj Pratihai became purified, then he took the devotional service. So the Varnashram is purifying. People are engaged in their occupations, the bhavanas and ashramas, but imperceptibly they're becoming purified. Krishna's manufactured it in such a way that simply by following it, you control your mind, you control your senses. And with control of mind and senses, when bhakti comes your way or a bhakta comes your way, then you can easily receive what he is giving. If you're not purified, it will be difficult to receive a message from a pure devotee. So, so Krishna taught, Manu taught Ishvaku, he was a great king, another great king who, Lord Ramchandra appeared in his dynasty. So these are the persons we're hearing about, these great kings, who really knew the real welfare of the citizens and actually engaged them in devotional service. So, Prabhupada's quoting here, Upadek Shanti Ti Gyaninam Gyaninas Tattva Darshana, that one who has seen the truth, then that person can impart knowledge. Tattva Darshi refers to one who is perfectly realized, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he can become a guru and propound Vaishnava philosophy all over the world. So this is our business. We're supposed to become self-realized, we're supposed to realize Krishna, we're supposed to spread the message of Krishna all over the world. This is Mahaprabhu's instruction to all of his, to everyone actually. Become a guru and save the land upon my order. Those who have taken birth in India as humans, Manusha Janama, human birth in India, first you understand the science of Krishna consciousness. When you are convinced, then you give to others. So first you understand, first you become purified, then you can give to others. This will be the best thing for you and best thing for others. So this is Mahaprabhu's order. And then later on he orders, I order everyone in the universe to become a preacher of Krishna consciousness and spread. So this is the order. First become self-realized. Then you can become a preacher. The Prabhupada commenting on Mahaprabhu's instruction, actually he was giving a lecture in, I think it was in Durban, and he said, so Mahaprabhu was teaching us, become a guru and save the land. He was preaching to the Indians there, who were simply breadheads. They went there to make money. They weren't really interested in God realization. But he was preaching to the Indian community. So Mahaprabhu says, you know, first you become perfect this life, understand the science of Krishna, become a guru and save the land. And Then he said, you may be asking, but Swamiji, you know, we didn't come here to be self-realized. We came here to earn money, and we don't have these qualifications. You're a great saint, you're a great preacher, you can do that, but we don't have these qualifications, so why is this this order applicable to us? Because we're not self-realized saints, so how we can preach the message? And yes, so we don't have these qualifications. Prabhupada, yes, he said, Mahaprabhu knows that you don't have any qualifications. It's a fact, nobody has qualifications. He said, but on my order, you preach Krishna consciousness. You become Krishna consciousness and preach Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. So that's it. Mahaprabhu was saying, yeah, this is a concession. Here is a concession. Because nobody in Kali Yuga can become self-realized. The age is too bad. Nobody can preach properly. The age is too bad. So Mahaprabhu was, now here is a concession. On my order, because I am ordering you to do it, you can do it. So if we follow the orders of Krishna, if we surrender to the order of Krishna, then we become protected by Krishna. Aham tam sarva papibhyo. You surrender to Krishna, Krishna will take away all the impurities. That means the purities will be there. So the very fact that you take seriously what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, even though I'm not purified, I'm not self-realized, I don't have all these good qualifications, but still somehow or another Mahaprabhu has ordered it and we are his followers and I should be doing this, simply by that act, by that attitude of executing that order, then you do receive the blessings of Mahaprabhu. You will become purified. But anyway, purified or unpurified, our business is to follow the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's great if we are all self-realized because it has more influence on others. But even if you're not, still, we are the servants of Mahaprabhu and his orders to do it. Or realized or unrealized, we should execute the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's an indication of surrendering to Mahaprabhu. And by that surrender, then everything will be revealed by the Lord. So, the idea is, anyway, you're accepting Mahaprabhu as your Lord and Master. It means you're already purified, actually. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, maybe 7:28, something like that, that those who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, completely purified from all material attachments. This means it, last life also purified, this life purified. Purified from all attachments and free from all the dualities. That person, he can engage in my service. That person, not others. So, of course, he refutes it at the end. And Sarvadhanam Parityaja refutes that statement of Krishna when he says, you've got to be purified. You know, Krishna says, don't worry about that, Arjuna. Just surrender to me and don't worry. I'll take care of everything here. But anyway, Krishna does say at that point to show the importance of becoming purified in the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita. But anyway, Prabhupada commenting on that verse and purport says, here Krishna saying you've got to be purified from previous birth and this birth. Then you can take to my devotional service. But we are not purified, he said. We may not be purified. Definitely not from this birth. And The previous birth we don't know, but only they can take to my devotional service to purify. But Prabhupada says, but now we see you chant Hare Krishna. He said two things, two different lectures. One thing was because we are chanting Hare Krishna and telling others to chant Hare Krishna, it means we're performing devotional service. Nama Seva is there. We're preaching to others to also to chant Hare Krishna. Nama Seva. And another lecture Prabhupada said, yeah, we're engaging people in different types of service. We're all engaging them in different types of service, especially chanting Hare Krishna. So, but Krishna says you can't engage in devotional service until you're purified, previous life and this life. Prabhupada saying, so this is just see the potency of chanting Hare Krishna. You're chanting Hare Krishna, and then you can we go out and preaching. We're preaching chanting Hare Krishna to everyone. So this is Prabhupada. It is a potency because Krishna is saying you can't become perform devotional service unless you're purified. But the moment you chant Hare Krishna, you can perform. You are performing devotional service. It means you're purified. So this is the potency of the holy name. How powerful it is! The very moment you chant Hare Krishna, you're considered purified. Then you can perform devotional service. So he said, they're coming. They're new. They're joining the temple, and within first day they join. What is it? Service. They get service. But you can't perform service unless you're purified. But because they've heard the name of Krishna, they've been told to chant Hare Krishna, immediately they become purified and immediately can start devotional service. Regardless of previous births, being purified from previous births or this birth, they're immediately allowed to perform devotional service. So it indicates they're purified simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna once. So this is the supreme potency of the Lord and His holy name. So, Tadipati Pranipatina Pariprasina Shevaya. Prabhupada's quoting this verse then. Just try to understand the truth by approaching a bona fide spiritual master, a self-realized person. He can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So we may say, well, we're approaching a self-realized person, but self-realized person is indifferent to this world. Why would he bother to interface with us even? He's not of this world, he's aloof. So why would he bother to, someone is approaching him, a self-realized, why would he bother to reciprocate? Because he's aloof from the material world. So why would he reciprocate with a materialistic person approaches him? Why would he reciprocate? He's aloof from all material. So it's a fact that he is aloof from it, but it's out of his mercy that when he sees a person is serious about spiritual life, then he can instruct him in spiritual life. That's simply the mercy of a devotee. So that is the madhyam. He comes from automatic, he comes down to madhyam. That is his mercy. Then he can instruct. So approach the bona fide spiritual with a submissive service attitude and render service. So this is what is attracting that self-realized person, that although we're still materially contaminated, we're approaching him, but because he sees the proper attitude that the devotee is approaching him, and his submissiveness, his inquiring, his humility and inquiries, and he's eager to know about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, about self-realization, Because that sincerity is there, then that self-realized soul imparts knowledge unto him, even though he's not purified from us. So it is his submission of the devotee who approaches a self-realized soul that attracts a self-realized soul. He sees his sincerity, so then he can impart knowledge. The fact is, the process of following rules and regulations, getting the instructions, and that's not sufficient actually to understand Krishna. It's not because bhakti is not there. Bhakti mama bhajananti, I'm only known by bhakti. So bhakti is not there. So Krishna is known by bhakti. So that's right. So this, the process of like sadhana bhakti, the whole process of the nanangas of bhakti, we're putting into practice Vedi sadhana bhakti or your pancharachiki vidhi. This is not sufficient actually to understand Krishna. Krishna won't be revealed by this because he's revealed by pure bhakti. But these activities or this practice of devotional service is a way to express our bhakti. Bhakti means you have a spontaneous attraction for Krishna. If you don't have that spontaneous attraction for Krishna in the material world, then we're obliged to follow the vidhi, the rules and regulations of sadhana, which do not reveal Krishna. Sadhana bhakti doesn't reveal Krishna. It's spontaneous bhakti that reveals Krishna's attracted by. But it's a medium, these rules are a medium which we can express our bhakti. We've forgotten our bhakti is covered, but we can approach Krishna try to develop a proper attitude, the service attitude, our approach, our service, our submission. What do we say? It's proof of our love for Krishna. Or at least we want to love Krishna. Now we've forgotten Krishna, but to show that you really want again to come to that point of loving Krishna, then that can be expressed through activity, the Vedi sadhana bhakti activities. So it's a medium, these angas of bhakti, they're mediums by which we can express our bhakti. We would like to have pure bhakti, Krishna. We would like to love you, Krishna, but unfortunately, we are covered that we can't. So please accept this bhakti that is lost to ourselves through these activities of shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, all these different activities. So they're mediums by which we can express bhakti. And when Krishna sees we are seriously, we are trying to express, then he becomes very happy. Then by his influence, he will transform that into spontaneous devotional service. He will revive our bhakti by his bhakti. So that's the process. So it's just Krishna's kindness, Krishna's mercy, and the mercy of a devotee, actually, that they can reawaken us by giving us this process of Vedi sadhana bhakti. And then it's the Vedi sadhana bhakti's practice, his own individual practice, to put it into practice, to actually express his devotion and become attracted to Krishna. So this is the truth that they are teaching, this knowledge. This is from the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna is teaching first. He's teaching knowledge of the self. why you need knowledge of the self first, because you understand the super self by the self. You understand the Paramatma by the Atma. So first of all, you got to become purified and understand yourself first. Then you can understand Krishna. So therefore, Krishna, first he begins with, in Bhagavad Gita, knowledge of the self, understand who you are. Then later he goes on knowledge of the Supreme Self or the Super Soul and the relationship. So the first truth, the Tattva Darshani, first he reveals our own identity. And then with our identity, Krishna says, what to say? Who sees the self? How do you see the self? By the light of the self. You see the self by the light of the self. And by that self, then you can see the Supreme Self. And by that Atma, then you can understand the Paramatma. So in this way, the seers, the Tattva Darshanis, they can gradually reveal to us our advancement in spiritual life by revealing ourselves, and the Supreme Self, the Super Soul, and the relationship, and beyond the Paramatma. And Krishna says then, what does he say? When you understand Atma and Paramatma, then you're not bewildered anymore. You're not bewildered. When you have passed out of this dense darkness of delusion, Krishna says, as long as we are affected by the three modes of material nature, it's understood we're in the dense darkness of delusion. Forced to act according to our nature and the impulse of the three modes of material nature, being forced to act at every every moment. So means we're bewildered. So we have to have knowledge of the self first. Sanatana Goswami, when he first approached Mahaprabhu, what was his first question? Amiki. Amiki. Who am I? I don't know who I am. This was his first submission to Lord Chaitanya. They're calling me Pandit. So I'm from South Indian Brahmin family. Not only that, I'm serving the Nawab Hussain Shah. I'm his minister. And I'm his advisor. He's the king and I'm his advisor. I speak Persian, I speak Urdu, I speak Hindi, I speak Sanskrit, I speak Bengali. And people are calling me Pandit, and I'm thinking, yes, I'm big Pandit. But I'm such a fool, I do not know who I am. So this was Sanatana Goswami, he's our Sambandracharya. So this has to be established first, our relationship. Has to be established first, understand who we are. And then, the progression will begin. When we don't know who we are, then everything is based on ignorance. I'm ignorant of myself, so everything I do is based on ignorance. So when we've passed out of that by the grace of the Tattva Darshana, they help us in our self-realization. Then we come out, we're free from this bewilderment. We understand who we are, not just theoretically, but practically. We feel in this Vyasatmaka Buddhiriya Kihau Kuru Nandana verse, most probably the fourth chapter, 43, something like that. Anyway, at the end of that purport there, Prabhupada said, the whole process of Krishna consciousness depends, however, on our realization of ourself beyond the body. He said, not theoretically, but practically. Then there will be no chance of again falling into fruitive activities. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness depends on knowledge of one's self, not theoretically but practically. So we have to come to understand that I'm not this body. At the very beginning, So it's the self-realized persons who inform us about this, and it's they who give us the process how to realize this. So then after that comes the realization of the Supreme Self. So it's just not the knowledge or understanding or philosophically, but it's feeling. You are feeling yourself. You are feeling the presence of the Lord in the hearts of others, in your own heart and in the hearts of others. It's positive reality. It's more real than what I think is my body. This existence now, it feels pretty real. But that feeling is even more real. It has a feeling of reality because it's eternal. You're in touch with Krishna says, well, tasting the eternal. They've tasted the eternal. It's a different dimension because we are sat eternal. So on that platform of eternality, it's a whole new world. It's the world of eternality. We're in the world of birth and death. It's not eternal, but there is a platform of eternality. So that is the soul's platform. That is the super soul's platform. So therefore you can, when you're on that platform, and Prabhupada says in his Vyas Puja home or offering to his spiritual master Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakura Prabhupada, the universal guru, the famous puja offering to Prabhupada. It's in many of the Vyas Puja books, they put it in the front. Anyway, at the end of that prayer or Vyas Puja offering to his, he says that he's offering prayers to his spiritual master, whom by his unceasing flow of mercy has awakened within us a movement of eternality. So in Prabhupada's Leela, he's accrediting his self-realization to his by this ceaseless flow of mercy of my Guru Maharaj. He has awakened within us. Was it feeling of eternality then? A movement of eternality. So, movement means something alive, something active. So one becomes awakened and there's a different dimension. So Prabhupada, of course he was, but in playing as a perfect disciple, he showed us, he self-realized that maybe before, but in his pastime, he indicated it was by his guru's mercy that he was awakened to. So they awaken to the self, and when you awaken to the self, you awaken to Paramatma, because that's both the same platform of eternality in it. So then you can, when you're in that platform, then that is the, then everything is on the platform of eternality. So then the devotional service becomes on that platform of eternality or reality. Because that is, eternality is reality. The temporary is not, it's false. So you're acting on the platform of reality. Therefore it's called realization, the real position platform. This is something very natural that everybody should be, but unfortunately because we're identical to Krishna, we've forgotten completely, and now we're identifying as different bodies, different activities, and but it's a whole world, is a whole different world, is that spiritual world that we are, that the Tattva Darshanas are trying to awaken us to the to this realization. Then one no longer becomes bewildered. So understanding oneself and the Supreme Self, and then the relationship and the service comes. The first understanding that is your sambandha. You've connected spirit, you've connected to the eternal realm. That is your sambandha. So then, now you can start the service, and the service really, now you're beginning service. Govinda, the Abhidaya, the putting into practice the. But on the realized platform, then it becomes very joyful. Everything is joyfully performed. Krishnadas Kaviraj says that at this point in realization, then the service really begins. Because it becomes alive, it's dynamic. Because you're on that dynamic platform of eternality, everything becomes alive. For the jnanis, Krishnadas Kaviraj says that this is their purpose also, to come to understand Brahman. They want that part of the realization also, Aham Brahmasmi. And those who actually get it, it's their good fortune. By blessings they get it. So then they say that's it. Now they've awakened to their eternal identity as Brahman. Spiritual, saint. They become saint. But then, so now we become aloof from everything, from all the material injunctions. You become indifferent from what's been, Krishna says you will become different from what's been said and what's been heard. Completely different, because you're in a completely different world. So they say, okay, that's it. So now our study of the Vedas is finished, because generally that's their process, studying the Vedas, neti neti, not this, not this. Ultimately they come to Brahman, the fortunate ones. So now all of that study is finished. That was our process, the process of jnana, the process of whatever we did, specifically studying the Vedanta sutras and everything. So that's all finished. We don't need it anymore, because we've attained the purpose of it, to understand the Aham Brahmasmi. So that's it. That this is the goal. You realize yourself and just enjoy your own bliss. Krishnadas Kaviraj says no. For the devotee, it's not like that. The devotees, the Mayavadis and Jnanis, this is the end. This is the final goal. Krishnadas Kaviraj says the devotees, when they reach that platform, they say no. This is the beginning. This is the very beginning, because now the connection with Krishna is really made. Now the service is really, now everything is done with feeling, is being done with love. So the hearing is, and the chanting, everything is all awakened, it's all done with love and devotion now. So he said now the service really begins in an awakened state. Whereas the jnanis, they say everything is finished now, just Aham Brahmasmi. Anyway, this is to be understood. So these stories here of these great kings, they become self-realized. And he was instructed, King Pratihara was instructing all of his students on the science. And where outside of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness did we even hear of even Krishna? If you weren't born in India, you'd never even heard of Krishna. What to speak of the process of bhakti, what to speak of self-realization. What to speak of, I'm not this body. What to speak of, never even heard it. Never even heard it. Whole world is bewildered. How many millions of newspapers are coming out every day? Not one time ever, past, at the present, you can send in the future, and not one mention of who we are even. So everything's based on ignorance. Only when you get the pure devotee comes, the Tathagata who has seen the truth, then he can present it. How tolerant was Prabhupada, how patient was Prabhupada. Like washing coal, he said. Prabhupada had to wash us like anything. But he had so much faith in the holy name. If they can simply chant Hare Krishna, then we see the success that Prabhupada had because of faith, his implicit faith in the holy name. His spiritual master, then he was able to implant this message of Krishna consciousness. So our business is to receive and also give to others. So you become a guru, but I don't have qualification. I know that, but here is a concession, he says, by my order. How do I become a guru? Wherever you stay where you are, you don't rush off to the Himalayas. You stay where you are, but whoever you meet, talk about Krishna. You are guru. So a very simple method, Mahaprabhu said. Sthana shtiti, you don't have to, oh now I've got to go run away and do my... No, you stay where you are, but whoever you meet, you simply talk about Krishna. You've heard one thing in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, always remember me, become my devotees. So that you repeat. You only know that much. You repeat it, you're a guru. You don't have to know all of Bhagavatam, all of Bhagavatam. You know one or two things that Krishna says, you repeat it, you're a guru. You're saving the land. Mahaprabhu was very pleased. You're taking up you're executing my orders. You're becoming a guru. Doesn't mean that everyone has to get diksha or anything like that. But you tell them what you know, you've heard from the authority about Krishna, or you've read from Bhagavad Gita about Krishna, you simply repeat that. In this way you become favored by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, favored by the Guru, because they simply see you are executing the order of Guru and Garanga. And because of that sincerity, then they are very pleased to actually bless with all spiritual advancement. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Veda Bhaktivedanta ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.